Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Then the man said, "This is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called the wife because she was taken from the husband." And I know your English Bible say this will be called woman because she's taken from the man, but actually in the Hebrew it's Isha and Ish. So Isha is wife and Ish is husband. So the wife was taken from the husband. And if you look at it in the Hebrew, this is actually a song. The first recorded music in the church is this, and it's a song. It's a wedding song. So the first music that we have in history was when a husband first saw his wife being brought to him on his wedding day. Pretty cool, huh? Pretty neat. And, and what was amazing about it was before this, before he had seen her, he had drifted off to sleep. Because God had done the whole animal parade thing where God wanted to see what Adam would call the animals. And so all these animals were led before him, and whatever he named them, that was going to be their name. But there was not found for him, it says, a helper fit for him, right? And so the Lord cast a deep sleep upon the man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in that spot, and the Lord God fashioned from the rib a wife from the husband, right? And the word that is used here in the Hebrew is different from the word that is used for the makings in the beginning of Genesis chapter 1. In Genesis 1, God baras everything. He makes it like you make a pot or something, and that would include Adam. Maybe it's the reason why we men tend to be a little more basic and a little bit more coarse, right? But the wife, when she was created from the stuff that was already Adam. And so, she was much more complex. It's much more a work of a craftsman than just the work of a potter or something. So that's why you ladies are always a little bit more refined and complex and interesting to at least us, the men, I should say. And that's maybe why, Gary, the sight of a wife does, stir the heart of a husband, right? It does. And so they both literally share the same essence, the same genetics, if you will, the sameness. And the sameness bridges their differences, right? I mean, it's the modern, sort of this new theory that's kind of developing, because we know genetics, that if you meet somebody and you have instant rapport with them that's somewhat positive, it's probably because you share genetics with them to some degree, right? And that's what the theory is, and I think that's probably true. Because Adam and Eve, her name was Eve, yeah, but the wife and the husband, they shared genetics, literally. They were literally the same flesh. And that's how they completed each other as well. In fact, the old Hasidic, the Hasidic masters, those are the rabbis with the black hats and the long, like, sideburns that are like ponytails almost, those guys, they have a saying that a man is only half a human and a woman is only half a human. It's only when they're together in marriage that they become one completed human being as God was meant us all to be. And may that be true for you, Gary and Jennifer, right? May that be true for you. Secondly, in the Old Testament lesson in Genesis chapter 2, it's really profound, I think, a profound observation that God makes, right? Because God, at the end of chapter 1, he saw everything that he made, and he said it was tov me'od. It was very, very good, right? It was very good. And the world does not have sin yet. There's been no eating of the forbidden fruit. There's been no fall. They don't know they're naked yet. There's none of that stuff's happened yet. It's all good. And yet, even though everything is good, when God looks down at Adam in the Garden of Eden, right, he sees this and he says, it's not good. This is not good. And how can God, who makes no mistakes and has nothing wrong, how can he see something and not make something good? But he makes this observation that it's not good for the man to be alone. So I will make a helper that will be fit for him. And this word for fit, it's not demeaning. It's the word yetzer in Hebrew, and it's not demeaning. It is employed actually often in Scripture for how God interacts with man. Okay? So God is our fit helper, right? He helps us. So it's not a demeaning word at all. It's not like the woman is less than the man, like some people have this sort of demeaning view of women historically, but it's not that at all. It's actually a very positive word. It means that she's going to be to him the way God is to us. And it's true. It's true. I mean, there's no one more influential in our lives as husbands than our wives, for good or for evil, since the fall into sin. That is true. Right? And so it's interesting that, that he, like I said, is seeing the situation that is not tov. It's lo tov. It's not tov made. It's lo tov. It's not good. And he has a solution. And his solution is, as creator, to create the wife for the husband, to create an isha for the ish. Right? And that's what he does. He does. And then he brings her to the husband. And that's where the procession, the bringing of the bride, as you did, Brother Zimmel, for your sister today, that is what you were doing. You were literally in the stead and by the command of our Lord, because that's what God did for the first wedding. He literally brought the wife to the husband. And you were standing in God's place in that action. I don't know if you know that, but that's where it goes. It goes right back to Eden in the very beginning, that processing of the bride and bringing the bride to her husband, right? And then when I took your hand, Jennifer, and handed it to your groom, that symbolizes that you're now coming under Gary's protection, right? The protection of your brothers is being transferred now to Gary, and hopefully you'll be faithful in that calling, right? Okay. And So it's interesting, Martin Luther makes the observation, because this is a Lutheran church, right? So Martin Luther makes the observation that we know from the stuff that God chooses to make the wife for the husband from, also indicates to us sort of how that relationship is supposed to exist, right? Because God could have used any substance to make the wife. I mean, he could have used more clay, right? It worked pretty good the first time, and you go with what you know. So why does he take a piece of flesh in the Hebrew from her side, or rib as the English says, from his side, rather? Well, he does that, Luther says, to show how they are to live their lives together. Because if God did not take, Luther says, flesh from the head, as if the woman is to be over her husband and be his, his boss, and he didn't take the flesh from his feet. He could have done that as well, right? But he didn't do that because the husband's not to walk over the wife. He didn't take it from the husband's back because she is not to be, some cringing subordinate to her husband. Neither did he take it from the husband's chest to somehow signify that she was to lead him around by the nose, right? Like some farm animal. No, it was from the side so that they would, the idea that Luther says is that they would walk side by side together in tandem, facing both the laughter and the tears, the pain and the joys of life together, come what may. And that their counsels would have equal weight between them. So says Martin Luther. I agree with him. Yes, and then finally they're to cling to each other, come what may. And that's why in Genesis 2:24, Moses writes, the man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and so the two become one flesh. Yet since sin has entered the world, that ideal is very rarely achieved, isn't it? That marriage is not the institution it was meant to be. In fact, it's quite an eroded institution. So how can we, live up to this ideal, right, Jennifer and Gary, right? Or any of us in this room that are married, how can we do that? Well, Jesus says in another context, but I think it equally is applicable here, that with man it's not possible, but with God all things are possible. So what does God do that is that we cannot do? How does he make possible what we are not able to make possible? Well, it's because of forgiveness. You see, for marriage to survive a day, a year, a decade, or a lifetime, it's important that husbands love their wives as Christ loves the church, and also that wives equally love their husbands, right? And how does Christ love his church? Well, he loves us by forgiving us of our sins. You see, this piece of artwork that our Christopher brought in today reminds us of what Jesus did to redeem both us and this world and its institutions from the grave in which they all lie in, right? Right. It's under the cross that marriage is redeemed, just as it's under the cross that we too find redemption, right? Right. Yes, it's under the cross of Christ that we are born again of water and the Spirit, and the old passes away, and behold, everything becomes new, right? Under the cross, in baptism, we are given what Christ won for us on the cross. And because Christ forgives us in holy baptism, and we know it because it is his promises connected to water, and when we're baptized, we're buried into his death, so that just as he was raised from the death by the glory of the Father, so we too live in newness of life. we, because of what Christ did on the cross, have the ability now to forgive each other, even though we don't deserve it, right? Because it's absolutely true, you know, Gary, that Jennifer will do things from time to time that you do not want to forgive her for, and there will be times, Jennifer, when he does things that you really, you know, really shouldn't forgive him either, right? But then again, the debts we owe to Jesus are much greater, aren't they? And Jesus makes it very clear that if we do not forgive our brother's trespasses, our Father in heaven will not forgive us ours. That's Matthew 6, 14 and 15. And so husbands ought to love their wives as Christ loves the church. And that means we forgive them, Gary, even when they don't deserve it. And so wives are to be subject to their husbands in everything. And that means that Jennifer, wives are supposed to forgive their husbands. That's what that means, even when they don't deserve it. Because it's easy to forgive somebody when they deserve it, right? It's when they don't deserve it that we discover truth, right? And so we must forgive. We must forgive. And that forgiveness we taste at Christ's altar in his true body and blood under the veils of bread and wine, and we, as I said, experience it in holy baptism when we're born again in water and the Spirit. And that forgiveness we receive from Christ because of what he did for us on the cross. Yes, he won that for us on the cross. He said our sins were finished on the cross, and then he certified that victory in his resurrection on Easter. And that resurrection from the grave is not only for our flesh on the last day, the eschatasia meros, when all flesh will be raised from their graves and the dead and Christ will rise first, but it also means the resurrection of our marriages, our relationships, and our world. May the Lord bless your marriage, Jennifer and Gary. In Jesus' name, amen. Dearly beloved, for as much as you both propose to enter upon the holy estate of matrimony, which is to be held in honor by all, it becometh you to hear the word of God as teacheth concerning this estate. Know ye therefore that God himself ordained marriage when he said, it is not good that the man should be alone, and I will make for him a helper that is fit for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the Adam, and he slept. And then he took one of his ribs and closed the flesh up thereof. And the rib from which the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into the wife, and he brought her unto her husband. And then Adam said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called the wife because she was taken out of the husband. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So hear also what God hath ordained, commanding and touching the conduct of spouses to each other. Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loveth the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water in the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having any spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as Christ as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man had ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wife be to her husband in everything. But hear also the cross, which Christ, because of sin, hath laid upon this estate. Unto the woman he has said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be for thy husband, and he will rule over thee. And unto Adam he has said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the fruit which I commanded thee not to eat, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life, and thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth for thee.
And thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat thy bread, till thou returnest to the ground. For out of it thou wast taken, for dust thou art, and dust thou shalt return.
Nevertheless, marriage is well-pleasing to God, and he hath his blessings laid upon it. For it is written, God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female he created them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the face of the earth. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Therefore Solomon also saith, He who findeth a wife findeth a good thing in the favor of the Lord. The psalm also saith of man, Blessed is every one that feareth the Lord, and that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be a fruitful vine at the side of thine house, thy sons like olive plants around thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord, and the Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel.
Thus God has sanctified marriage, and will continue to bless therein all who trust in him and live in his fear. For Christ, having atoned for our sins, hath hallowed even the crosses of those who believe in him. So, unto this holy estate you now come to be united. And that all men might know that your consent is mutual in holy wedlock, and to be have been sincerely and freely given, it behooveth you to declare in the presence of God and these witnesses the sincere intent that you both have. These two persons have come hither to be made one in the holy estate of matrimony. If there be present here any who can show just cause why they may not be bound in holy matrimony, then let him now speak, or forever hold his peace. For as much then as nothing has been shown to hinder this marriage, I ask you, Gary Manns, wilt thou have here Jennifer Emmel to be thy wedded wife? Wilt thou honor, love, cherish her, and keep her with this bond of wedlock, holy and unbroken, till death do you part? If so, declare before God and these witnesses, I will. Jennifer Emmel, wilt thou have here Gary Manns present to be thy wedded husband? Wilt thou love, honor, cherish, and obey him, and keep him in this bond of wedlock, holy and unbroken, till death do you part? If so, declare before God and these witnesses, saying, I will. Take her hand, sir, one hand, and you will take her ring, and you will repeat after me. Receive this ring, as a pledge and token of wedded love and faithfulness. And you do the same. Receive this ring as a pledge and token of wedded love and faithfulness. And now join your right hands. And you say, I, Gary Manns, in the presence of God in this assembly, take thee, Jennifer Emmel, to be my wedded wife, and plight thee my troth in every duty, not to part from thee, till death do us part. And then you repeat also, I, Jennifer Emmel, in the presence of God in this assembly, take thee, Gary Manns, to be my wedded husband, and plight thee my troth in every duty, not to part from thee, till death do us part. Together, face each other, face each other. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. For as much as Gary and Jennifer hath consented together in holy wedlock and witnessed the same before God in this assembly of witnesses, I therefore pronounce them husband and wife, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Kiss the bride. And now we will now retreat. Unto thee have I cried, O Lord. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise.
With thine honor all the day.
O Lord, hide thy face from my sins.
And blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God.
And renew my spirit.
Cast me not away from thy presence.
And take not thy Holy Spirit from me.
Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
And uphold me with thy spirit.
Walk safe, O Lord, this day. Have mercy upon us, O Lord.
Have mercy upon us.
O Lord, let thy mercy be upon us.
Lord,
hear my prayer, O Lord.
The
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, whose Son at Cana revealed the new wine of your kingdom to those entering holy matrimony, by your Holy Spirit renew the married couples of your church in their vows, and also answer the petitions of those who pray for a godly spouse, and teach all your people to pray for and help their neighbors to live faithfully as husbands and wives. We ask this through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, the maker of all things, who brought Adam and Eve together to be husband and wife, we pray now for Gary and Jennifer that their vows will remain unbroken till death do they part, and that they will know the joys and also the challenges of marriage, but learn from them and know that in their union is pleasing in your sight. We ask this in Jesus' name, who lives and reigns with thee in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord be with you.
And
may the Lord bless thee and keep thee.
May the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee his peace.
Amen.
May I present to you Mr. and Mrs. Gary Manns.
Wait for the music.
Wait for the crucifix.
Congratulations.
Give her your arms, sir. Ready? Go. Where's the kids at? They already know. Okay. Good, good.
You didn't get the lights off there.
Better for pictures now.
Is this one okay?